Maybe 4 p.m. is a different time in Cumbria.
Different
times. Hello, welcome to the Bash Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss maybe a bit of Apple news. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just shoot the breeze with all the people that are here because it's the weekend of the Bash, and here's everyone. Look, we've got loads of people here. All the window lickers have come. Yeah, we've got Batwinch on the way. She's coming. Drew's on the way. There's a few people that are on the way. So we're having to share an audio feedback loop so that everyone can hear us. But joining us by the magic of science from Hawaii, the floating head that is Doc Rock.
Hello.
How you doing, dude?
Man, I didn't know that webcast panel, whatever the heck you call this thing, zoomed me in so tight. Let me back this out. That's just kind of creepy. Anyway.
Stabbing into my soul.
It's okay.
I'm doing good.
Still hasn't changed. It's still floating.
I was thinking in my head, what does Doc look like? Black headroom.
Is he going to stutter halfway through?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. You know, for the longest time, I really thought that that dude had passed on or whatever. Then Orphan Black came out, and I was like, okay, that's better. Because I had literally not seen him in anything since Max Headroom. And then when he came back,
changed Orphan Black, I don't know what his name is, but he hasn't changed a bit, has he?
No, he hasn't. I know his name. Why does it bother me?
He's got a portrait in the loft.
Really?
No. That's a Dorian Gray reference, but not a very good one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I'm doing fine. Just been hella busy. The week has just been quite insane. But again, I'm not complaining because then the business disappears when you start complaining.
That's cool. Brilliant. And also from Parts Foreign. No, Parts Foreign.
He's drunk too much.
Already.
James Rickard of Renderbots. How you doing, brother?
I'm very well, you, and sorry I can't be with you. It looks like you're having a blooming great time.
The bash is awesome. Every time we do it, every year we do it. And the thing is as well, it's like there's a ton of work to do to get up to it. And like the wife this morning was, because we went out to play golf. And I won't do it. So the golf is going to be on the Monday next year because I got the evil eye today. But there's loads of stuff to do. She's been cooking pork all day because of we've lost the caterer at the last minute. It's all a bit, but it's so worth it. On the weekend when we do it, when we actually have people sitting in the garden drinking with some chimneys burning till the early hours, and then we have the bash and loads of games and all the kids are running around, it's brilliant. I love the bash. I don't want to ever stop doing it, even though it costs a freaking fortune. But it's well worth it. You have to get yourself over it. Oh, I tell you what, actually, though, mate, we could come and do it at your gaff next year.
Oh, right. I might have finished the house by then. I've been painting this morning. My shoulder is killing me. Just another thing. I've had a midlife crisis. I bought an Audi TT.
No, that's all right, mate. That's a slug.
It's not, that's all right.
It's not a penis extension. You're fine.
No. I'm not sure enough. It's a 2001 version. It's so old. It's probably older than my son.
It's not a convertible, though, is it?
Huh?
It's not a convertible.
No.
Okay. So if you buy a convertible, then you've got issues.
Yeah, or a BMW 7 Series or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's a right banger, but I'm loving it. It's two-seat, and I just love it. It's brilliant.
Low to the floor. Bit of speed. And it's a quality. It's Quattro,
yeah.
Still running, mate. 1.8.
Hey, it's great. I love it. It's being serviced today, but I'm a bit nervous. But there you go. We'll see.
Now, join us in the studio. We've got loads and loads of people. To start them off, you'll know Muller because he's been on the show before and you've seen him. Next to him, if you follow him on Twitter, that's the Smock.
Hello.
Hello, Richard Klein. Now, have you booked a day off, dude? Are you all right to be on camera?
No, I'm a day off today.
Yeah, your boss is working.
Safe trip up?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Usual problems with British motorways, but...
M40. Next to him, Patrice. He's come from Germany. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, as promised, I'm here. And we had a brilliant time this morning with golf and everything.
It was great. Martin here over here. Hello, Martin from the London Mac User Group. He's here. Martin played with us.
That's been very generous.
No, it's the first time he's played golf on a golf course for 20 years. And you did all right, dude.
Yeah.
But the thing was, he came off, and his watch had done the meterage, and he said, how long's this course? I said, it's about, I don't know, 6,000 metres? He said, because I've done 9,000 metres.
Well, I was doing a sailing tack.
Use the mic, dude. Use the mic.
I was doing the sailing tack across the course, you know. That get, eventually get there. You're downwind, you know.
But you did all right. And your par.
I did a par, yes.
On a par three.
Got one. Yep.
Up the green side. Chipped it and hold the putt. Well done, man. Next to Patrice is Horse.
Hey.
Hi, Horse.
Yeah.
Jeff from Dorset.
No, Devon.
Devon.
Ooh.
Devon.
Ooh. Fighting talk.
Close enough. They both start with the same letter. Jesus.
Oh. Frightening.
Next to him, Jake. Who's had a bad back all week.
Yep. Getting there.
He was a twat at rugby training.
Not really appropriate, Ian.
I just want that on record. I want that on record just in case you sue me.
All right.
Falsely, you see.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
Good to see you, mate. Next to him, it's Ian. The man that helps with the photo show that we haven't done for a while because we've had a glitch with the dock, haven't we?
Yeah.
But we will be back with the photo show when we get to the new premises. So, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, very good.
Now, you started in 2015 from Cornwall, didn't you? Get to get here in time.
Got my passport out.
I thought we stayed up from last year.
It's probably easier for Patrice coming from Germany, to be honest.
Well, no, actually, you're probably about four times closer. But, I mean, it's just, there's no direct flights from Cornwall.
Quarter past eight ourself.
Yeah, if you get stuck behind a horse and cart, as you screw it, it's a week.
That's it.
What are you saying about my driving?
Ian is the man that is a fantastic landscape photographer. Landscape photographer, and currently in the lead of the Fancy Photo League. You enjoying it?
Yeah, I haven't done nothing this month.
Oops,
we got novelled.
You got till Monday.
He's got to be novelled.
But you realise you're not going to win, don't you?
Yeah, that's fine.
You've already had a DSLR. Yeah, it's you're not getting
good fun. Just taking part.
You're setting the benchmark, mate.
Not very high, then.
I tell you what, you're a few points ahead, but once you get rid of you, the pack is really condensed below, isn't it? It's brilliant. I'm really impressed. Wide open.
So can we get rid of him, then?
Well, I don't count anyway.
We've had a few entries already this month for light. I figure in my head, right, I'm thinking, let's do light on the month that has the longest day and the most amount of light, on the 21st of June, and it's been a shit month.
It's been the wettest June on record, probably.
Thanks, man. It's because I picked it. Like I said, I get closed clams in restaurants. But we've had some entries in, and they are brilliant. I'm so impressed with them. The bar is really high now. And last but by no means least, from London Mac User Group. And
yep.
I thought Paul was going to be from the London Mac User Group.
Yes, no, he's gone off on holiday with his new partner. Who's getting married to? So they're all doing all that sort of stuff.
He bought a bash ticket though.
Oh, right. Well, maybe he's coming out tomorrow.
Okay. He said he was coming today. He's bought a crew ticket as well. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, hopefully we'll see him tomorrow.
So he's not going on holiday.
Well, I heard he gone on holiday, but it was in the Slack room last week, so maybe he's back.
Okay.
Because I said to him coming up was to travel up, and he said no, he was going to arrange his own thing. So.
All right. You can't keep that money. You're going to have to share it.
Yeah. No. Fine. I'm not greedy.
At least share it with Ian.
Yeah, I'm not greedy.
The week in Apple, what's going on, what's been big, what's been happening? I don't know where to start, really. We could start with Apple has, 10 years ago, released the iPhone this week, hasn't it? This is the anniversary of it?
Yeah.
And I just thought it might be cool to do some kind of... Because, I mean, quick show of hands, who had an original... Is anyone going to let an original iPhone?
Still got it?
Yes.
Yep. Version 1. Jeff, no, version 1, no.
No.
I got it.
No. Oh, blimey, I thought we'd
have... And I mean...
It still works.
I can even tell a story to it, because I imported it from the US, so it wasn't available in Germany when I got it.
Wow.
Did it work easily? Because I mean,
I had to jailbreak it to get it running on the telecom network at that point.
But you had the first jailbreaks as well.
Yeah, exactly. For I think a year or a year and a half. I think no, even 2 years until the 3GS. I had a jailbroken phone.
Right, blimey!
Wow.
Okay. Oh, who's not put their phone on silent? Gee.
Ooh.
Everyone's
that was an homage to the iPhone ring. The funny thing about launch day is I remember being called in to work early, and we kind of all knew it was, going to happen, because we had started getting boxes in the back of things that we had to set up for the store. But the most amazing part of launch day one to us was, here it was almost, what, like 6 in the morning here, and still the phones had not arrived. But the night before, we all came in early because all the swag came in, like all of the signs we had to put up, the window displays we had to put up, and, you know, we had explained to the mall that it was going to be, you know, maybe a couple of people that might extend outside the door. So I roll up probably about 4:30, and I started walking in from the employee side of the parking lot around the mall to the front, and I was like, holy God, is Michael Jackson playing at the Apple Store? There was just this line of folks, and I was like, it was kind of incredible how many people were standing out there in the line. And the cool thing was, our boss arranged with the local Starbucks to have them, you know, deliver coffee. But what we didn't know is there's a store here called Williams and Sonoma, and they're like the kitchen kit. You know, they sell all of the fancy fufu La Crusade stuff and, you know, high-end bakeware and cookware. The ladies there got wind of the thing early, and they baked brownies, and they came downstairs and they gave everyone in line brownies. And we're talking like 3,000-4,000 brownies deep. Wow. And I don't know how the heck they pulled it off, but they got permission from their corporate. So a lot of the other stores were coming in and, you know, helping out people in line. All the news crews were there. And I just remember, in Hawaii, we have a terminology known as chicken skin. And that's when you get like the goosebumps. That's just our version of goosebumps. When they did the countdown for the initial clap-in, you know, Apple and his incessant clap-ins, the vibe was like, you know, man, you just lifted the trophy. Like, it was pretty insane. And I'll never forget that feeling. And, you know, I'm standing outside, and, of course, I got asked to do the countdown, you know, just because I've done, you know, large concerts and events and stuff like that. So I had to go to the second tier of the mall to yell down and do the countdown, and the whole place was just vibrating. It was really an amazing experience. And I remember coming back down at the end of the day. We sold all of these phones, and everyone's, the energy in the room is vibing. Everyone is just like having a good time, and we're all looking at it going, man, I can't wait till payday so I can possibly buy one of these. And the boss goes, oh, sit down, you know, like kindergarten, semicircle in the corner. And they turned on the big screen TV that was behind the Genius Bar. And then this guy comes on, and he's like, hi, guys. I want to say aloha. He had a really horrible Hawaiian accent. And he was like, well, I have a gift for everyone. And, of course, I'm talking about Steve.
Which you get an iPhone. Really cool. You get an iPhone.
Yeah. It was really cool that Steve came on the Skype at that time. You know, FaceTime wasn't a thing yet. And, like, he literally gave us our phones in person, sort of, to the best of his ability. Yeah. But then you remember at that time, he had to do that to 310 stores.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So for all of the people that, you know, say he was harsh or brass or somewhat of an a-hole or whatever, he would do these things. You know, like, he would come in and like, you know, everyone didn't, no one had a clue we were all getting phones. No one at all. And it was amazing. They pull out this cart, and there's like 300 iPhones on this cart, and everyone got a phone. And it was mind melting. And then 3-hour struggle with AT&T to get it activated. Because we only had one choice back then, you know? And they made some foibles even for us. Like, all of the phones were basically ours, free to do whatever, but also registered to the company. So, like, I had a hard time putting on an international plan when I traveled to Japan because they're like, oh, it says your phone is owned by S Jobs. You guys are stupid. That's Steve Jobs. He's the boss. I he lets me go to, you know, Japan. Let's do this. You know, it was just, it was pretty hilarious, and it was an amazing thing. And I never forget that. That's why I've never gotten rid of my OG phone. Because it was a present from Steve. Matter of fact, my first three phones were presents from Steve.
Now then, I just want to immediately follow on, because James has a very special story about the launch of the iPhone that kind of counterpoints Doc's.
Yeah, I joined 2 days after. So I didn't get one. It was gutting. I couldn't believe it, because all the employees were walking around bumping into doors and falling over steps because they're all staring down at this beautiful brand new toy that they've all just got given, and I'm going, how much are you going to cost me then? And, I was, And it was just so upsetting. But what's funny is the fact that, you know, there was nothing on it. There was no apps or anything. So it made me wonder what they were staring at all the time, because everybody have had them in the hand and were just falling all over the place. And you'd be halfway through a conversation and people pull their phone just to check it to see if it's still working. I had to wait, I think, because obviously I was employed, say, 2 days after. So I had to wait, I think, a week or so before I got a little bit of a discount on it. But I did get a discount and I'm very pleased with it. Absolutely.
Right, I've just found out that Batman, she's sat in the other room on her own. Get your arse in here, woman, and join in. Good God. Not having that. Fellas, make room. Call yourselves gentlemen.
Of course.
Unreal. Unreal.
I think the delay is going to get to her in a second, then she'll hear.
She'll be here in about 4 minutes. Have you put her up on Chrome or not? If she's on... Actually, we might have finished by the time she comes through from Safari. Bad luck, James. Bad luck. That is a super story.
Well, as I said, I was there for every launch thereafter, but you knew it was something special. That was great working in retail at the time. You know, I obviously was new to Apple retail, but actually being in the part of the store and people walking in, obviously it was in Birmingham where I worked, and people would just walk in and just go, they just didn't understand the phone at all. You know, you had to demonstrate even the contacts. People just didn't understand what you were showing them, and everybody was blown away. It didn't need selling. You just needed to hold it up and show them. And I think we would have sold a billion. Honestly, it was crazy, and I guess worldwide we did.
Yeah, there's an interesting point from Lee P in the chat room, because he's just said he didn't want to go back to 2G because he was in an N95 contract, and of course the N95 was already running 3G. So you were taking, in terms of connection, you were taking a retrograde step if you wanted the iPhone from where you were.
Is that yours?
Yeah, I mean, remember we were stuck on the 02, so a lot of people wanted the phone, but here in the UK we were stuck on 02, so a lot of people take the contract back before. In fact, some of the guys at the Apple retail store, you know, got given the phone but couldn't use it because they'd already in the 2 year or 1 year contract. So there was a lot of kind of to and fro about what people were going to do with these phones, and nobody wanted to give them up for sure. But yeah, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that we nowadays actually forget, that, I mean, the iPhone, as game-changing as it was, I mean, looking back, it was a shitty phone. I mean, it had 2G. I think it had a camera, but it was, I mean, useless. It didn't have a lot of the things that other phones had, but it still was the best phone out there, actually.
But wasn't the Sinbad that went on the stage and they said, "What would you like to see in the next iPhone?" He said, "The ability to make a call."
Yeah, they had. I think with AT&T they had issues with, I mean, even getting call through and stuff like that.
Batwinch.
You guys drinking Bullet?
Yeah, Muller's got bullet bourbon out already. He's going to be wanking tonight. Batwench has bought a state-of-the-art phone in. This is the new Nokia 3310. And what I love about this is the security, because when you touch the button...
Oh, amazing.
It says... Here you go. It goes, unlock question mark. And you... Oh, hang on.
You have to press the other one again.
Hang on. There we go. It says unlock question mark, and you just go, yep. There's no passcode. I'm into a phone straight away.
Sure, I'm going to unlock.
But this is the new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the new Nokia 3310.
It's lovely.
Yeah, I
want
actually
one.
Managed to get hold of one from Carrefour Warehouse. Other phone shops are available.
How much did they pay you to have it?
I had more problems getting bloody Vodafone SIM to work in it.
It's quite a nice little sexy phone. It's good.
But apparently this is red.
No, that's
coral pink.
That's coral. Coral's the word. That's the word.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mr. Batwench bought the red, thinking he was getting red. Now he has a pink phone.
he's comfy with his sexuality, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Although he does make an ugly woman. I know, I've done his makeup.
But the thing is, now he's lost all that weight, the options to him for clothing for ladies has just gone huge, hasn't it?
Well, we've just dropped the brownies off at your house, and I don't think Shara recognised him.
Oh, is he here? Where is he?
He's dropping stuff off at the hotel, and then he's coming over.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, then he might stop by
Sharon.
Is that
dropping the kids off at the pool?
That may be the case.
Yeah. Oh well.
He's dropped. I got to say, based on the pictures I've seen of him, he's dropped a lot of kids off at the pool in recent months.
Mm. What, eh?
I said, based on the pictures I've seen of him in recent months, he's dropped a lot of kids off at the pool.
Yeah, that restraining order's coming into force next week.
So who else said that you had an original iPhone, Martin?
Yes, I did.
What, yep. So what do you remember your day that you got yours?
Sorry?
I didn't get mine on the first day. It was about 4 months in when I got mine.
Well, we'd ordered three for the company, for the boss, and sure enough, they all turned up 1, 2, 3. Not one delivery, but 1, 2, 3. So there was fights over who got the first one.
Oh, man.
All right. But yeah, we got them on the first day. It was quite strange. But as you say, then getting them all hooked up to O2 was quite interesting. And then the issues about trying to make calls. We were in the same office looking at one another, trying to make calls to one another, couldn't make a call. It was easy to get the intercom out and make it work. But we'd all used to have, what were they, the P900 Sony. Do you remember that one? With the flip front.
Oh, yes. I had that.
Yeah, they were state-of-the-art at the time. We had them, and we had the little toothpick to try and
was
send messages.
Was the P900 the white one? Or was that the one that had the fold-down front?
It had the fold-down flap. Yeah, it was a silver, nice. Yeah. And if you wanted to, you could definitely remove the flap and put a little piece on, so you just had a phone similar to that. But once you did that, you had these tiny screws you lost. Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, we'd sort of move and piece 600s all the way up with Sony's. But the iPhone was at that, even at that time, was revelation, completely different to what you'd ever used before.
Yeah. Who else said they had an original? Patrice, and only Patrice and... No. You had one?
No. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't have an original iPhone, but I think the biggest change that I saw when they brought the iPhone in was the way the phone companies stopped charging extra for access to what they called business services over the internet.
Yes.
So I had an N95. I had to pay extra because I wanted IMAP. As soon as you got an iPhone contract, everything was open. And then it was just, was there an app that would do things? And the phone company just didn't get involved at all over what can we charge extra for.
And of course, the unlimited data thing as well. That was the iPhone pushed that through, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that progressed the phone industry to where it needed to be to keep up with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, the other big change was, I mean, back in the day, phone companies used to put a lot of crapware on each phone. It basically, I mean, the phone you got wasn't the phone the manufacturer produced. It was something that your carrier had customized. They called it customized for you. You got all the O2, Vodafone, whatever apps on it. With the iPhone, it came as is. There was nothing on there from any other carrier, and I mean that was also a big difference and a big shift. And I think to this day, it's still happening a little bit, but it's not. I mean, most carriers don't do that anymore.
Bob Beach can't get in the chat room, and neither can Ball Scott. Ball Scott's watching at work, and Bob Beach afterwards has typed in the Slack room, "Yeah, I'm watching it on a boat on Lake Garda."
As you do.
That's the ultimate boast and bitch slap, isn't it? Bad luck, Bald Scott. Well done, Bob Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, but Bob Beach should be here. He's missing it all. This is where it should
Lake
be.
Lake Garda's got nothing on this.
As I said, yes, all roads lead to BTN.
They do. They absolutely do. The other thing is,
BTN.
I am sad to announce that what you're listening to is the last show from here. We're moving.
Wow.
We've got new premises. One of my customers has said we need a lot of videos making this year. We want you embedded so we can call you through and just to shoot straight away. So here's what we're willing to do to help you come down and do that. And they've given us some premises to shoot with them. So we are leaving BTN Towers on the 10th. We're gone. This is the last show. There won't be a show next week because we've got to pack everything down. And hopefully we'll get everything up and working by the 14th, but we may not get the green screen by that point. So last show from 30A, and we're back. Okay, we sorted that. I don't know why that does that. It just and it goes. It's a flash issue, I think, or a USB issue or something like that.
It's always a flash issue, right?
Yeah, but I mean, people slag flash off, but we couldn't do the show without flash. The HTML5 yes. Delay is like a minute and a half. No, so the chat room is typing stuff, and we've already moved. Well,
yeah. You could.
I won't say it. No, don't say that. So Apple, right? This is interesting. I think this is incredible. Apple have acquired eye-tracking firm Sensomotoric Instruments. And I've got to say, Patrice, German eyewear looks shit. There's a picture of the Sensomotoric Instruments make crap eyewear. But they do eye tracking.
I haven't seen it.
It's brains from
it's on the feed, so you can't see the feed, can you?
No, we can't.
Oh, right, that's a point. Well, just come around here a minute. You're on wireless mic, mate. It's not hard. There you go.
Oh yeah, that looks shit. Sorry, that's kind of ugly.
They're not good looking glasses, but they do track your eyes apparently. Why is Apple buying an eye tracking firm? There's the question.
Eyeglass.
No, I think
you can't be doing Google Glass. If they're doing a Google Glass,
Apple will do it properly.
Assistive devices do really well with the eye tracking, and if they can make it so it's easier to use a computer through eye tracking and eye flicking for a keyboard and stuff like that, it'll be pretty radical. So rather than thinking of the douchey tech side of it, I hope that it's for more of the assistive devices stuff.
Did anybody see Silicon Valley with the episode where they got the glasses under the seats and they all had the phone?
Yeah,
and the AR kit and the whole thing blew up.
Yeah, I can.
It's not gonna be like that.
I can see it. I can see a couple of other places where they could use that. I mean, in the Apple stores, just for marketing purposes, knowing where people are looking at or what people are looking at.
What?
Yeah, I mean, just if you walk into the store,
Minority Report level stuff.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, they could do that. I think they would be interested to know. I mean, are people looking at when they come in, are they looking at the phones or not, anything like that?
That you can, I just can't get over the fact you go into a mall and you get something afterwards. When you go, you get a message on your iPhone that says that you looked at a woman's ass 53 times and you looked at her boobs 22 times, because that's what it's going to be like.
Yep, pretty much.
I'm going to buy some horse's blinkers and some horse brasses.
I'm not selling.
What's that?
I'm not selling.
So no, that's going to be the thing, right? There's going to be eye tracking on your phone, so you're walking along texting, and this girl's sitting texting and she knows, she gets a notification that you looked at her bum.
Yeah.
Which is nothing sacred anymore.
No, it's the internet.
What if she checks what?
What checks out your package?
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
Because us women do that, no offence, we do, we go yeah.
Packet checker app.
To be fair though, she'd know you'd done it, but you'd get a text straight back saying, does my bum look big in this?
She might
what are you
going
to say?
So she's dropped a packet.
Oh no.
The video on the site shows a little kid playing tennis and they're tracking his ball watching skills, natural gaze, whatever.
I gotta say, dude, thank God you finished that sentence. This already looks like a meeting of a paedophile ring.
So I didn't realize I was walking into that. Anyway, when you look at the video, it's pretty rad, like, you know. As he's tracking the tennis shots and like knowing where he's placing it, and yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, so if it's doing stuff like that and, you know, high performance vision for athletes and, you know, things like that, I think that'll be pretty wicked to know about. I think it'd be great to know for driving when people try to say, I didn't see you, while they ram into you, and you'd be like, no, you fully saw me, you dink. Yeah. You just can't drive.
They've done eye tracking in F1 drivers, haven't they? Because I know Nico Hülkenberg has been done.
Yeah,
for that, and that's pretty big business about where people look before stuff, doing stuff as well. So,
with regards to the eye track, and I do a lot of survey things for Nielsen and stuff, and I do actually get occasional ones going, "Can we access your camera? Because I want to look what I'm looking on the screen." So it could be to do with ads and how you interact with the computer and what you're looking at.
It's like a heat map for a website.
Yeah, and I mean, pictures. I mean, just turning it around. If they can track the eyes of the people you're taking a picture of, that might help with, I don't know, focusing and stuff like that. So this might also be a play they could.
So eye recognition as opposed to face recognition.
Yeah. I mean, they
to be fair, this firm is focused on first party view, isn't it? Mm. It's not looking outwardly, it's looking inwardly at the person. Yep. So it's probably more likely the front facing camera looking back at where you're looking on the screen, maybe, that then says, well, if you're looking at the screen and we know you're looking at the eyes, we'll focus on the eyes. If you're looking at the vase, we'll focus on the vase.
Yeah.
But that's a really tiny movement. That's really tough to track, I would have thought. So I think it's an interesting purchase. I mean, I can see that it's a synergistic technology, if you like, but I can't see an application. But they've obviously got something in mind, I suppose. So synergistic.
Yeah.
I've had three beers. I can say synergistic. Yeah.
Or they just.
I can't spell it though.
No. Jesus Christ.
Maybe they just wanted to acquire the people for something completely unrelated with the technology that the company has.
Apple's now acquiring people.
No, they have always. They've always done that. They are basically two kinds of companies Apple buys.
They've become the Borg.
Yeah, kind of. It's for the mothership, exactly. Either they get the company for the technology, patents, something that they have in mind to, apply it, or they get it for people who have some special skill that Apple needs for another project. And it's easier to simply buy a company and get the people than to hire the people off that company.
Good point. I like that one. The chat room's lowering the tone. Paul Dixon said, what about Pecker Checker?
Yeah,
that might be the show title. It's either that or Black Headroom. I it was quite interesting, but not enough. Apple is giving money to the parks system. This is quite nice, actually. I like this story. Apple celebrates America's national parks this July with donations and Apple Watch Challenge. So if you, they'll donate $1 to the Park Foundation for every purchase that's made with Apple Pay at an Apple store or on apple.com through the Apple store in the United States from July the 1st to July the 15th. That's only half a month. It's not long.
You guys got a package?
Yeah, no, we've got, we have got a package because the package is Mr. Batwinch, I think, but and it's a tinier package than it used to be. But that's nothing to, we're not doing Pecker Checker. National parks, are they struggling for cash? Is there a big thing over there, Doc, about... Because Hawaii's a national park, isn't it? The whole island.
Not quite, but we do have a lot. The official orangutan in charge had made some cuts.
Is that? Has he got the Twitter account? Oitis.
I always thought about getting an Otis account, but I don't know. Anyway, never mind that D-bag. But there has been some unnecessary cuts to things that we should be fixing the other way around. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, a company like Apple stepping in and coming up with some cool stuff. And what's really funny, the national parks had got a boost last year and the year before because of Pokemon Go. So places where you used to go to frolic in the briar by yourself, you used to have to frolic in the briar with about 4,000 people all of a sudden. And then so it was great because it caused a lot of activity. The places that had concession stands, they did really well, things like that. But also some of the maintenance costs went up because now everyone's trampling the park. So it was a bad time for that dude to go around making these cuts to the parks and then paying his homies.
I've got to say, I've only just noticed the enamel badges in the watchOS, and I do like
it. It's pretty cool.
They are really awesome. Nice. I mean, the thing is as well that they're classic, like enamel badges that you used to make in metalwork at school. Yeah. And then you'd pour the molten enamel in. No, you know, I made one.
No, dude, you're in here. I got to help you out with something because it's just probably as a git, you don't know these things. But I had on my desk. I moved into the other desk. The enamel badges are back as a thing for the hipsters. Like, all the hipsters are making them and buying them and all kind of stuff. So my friends and I have actually produced a couple of enamel pens with various, you know, jokey type sayings or whatever. But they're really, really common now. Even if you get the Smuggler's Box from Smuggler's Bounty, which is a Star Wars subscription kit where they send you, like, Funko Pops and whatnot. You have one on your desk behind you somewhere. You have a Funko Pop, right? A Pop Vinyl? I have about 400 in the other room. But anyway, when they send you your monthly subscription box, it comes with Star Wars enamel pins. So I probably have about 20 or 30 stuck over there on the wall. So they, it's kind of funny that they did this because it's in concert to something that's extremely popular right now, in the recollecting of enamel pins.
Well, do you remember when the Olympics come out, us in the UK, we got the enamel pin badges which shaped with iPads and iPhones and things like that. Mm. And they did it for Canada as well. The Apple made enamel pin badges for Canada. A really funny story about that. We were obviously, I was working for Apple when we did the Olympics here in the UK, and people walked up to the door and we were told just to hand them out. And the beautiful little packets, you had an iPhone and an iPad, all on this kind of really nice, and people were like, don't want that, just fix my phone.
Aww.
You'd be like,
I would have taken one.
Batwing's got one, and she's a Windows user.
It was really funny that people just were like, I don't want that. What are you giving me that for? It's an enamel pin badge with Apple stuff on it. No, don't want it.
Oh, shit. Tell me you kept some.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They did black enamel pins and silver ones. So we got a pack of each. So every sort of employee got a pack of each, which was fabulous. And my friend came in a few days later, and he had the original Canada ones. He was over there when the Olympics were on, and they were just beautiful, beautifully done. If you go on eBay and just search UK Olympic Apple level badge, you'll definitely find them, and they are beautiful.
They are cool. No, Paul Dixon in the chat room is saying we need BTN enamel pins. Yes, we do.
Oh,
if
yes.
There's anyone out there
that'd be good
who knows how to make enamel pins? Knows
I know how to make them.
So can you make us BTN? Well, the thing is, the shipping might be a bit primitive.
No. I will find you a I have the hookups. I'll send you some links, Matt. And then we'll figure it out.
We're on a mission.
It's super easy to do.
BTN enamel pins. We could do with doing a one for the main shows that we've got. So one for Mac, one for Big, one for Pocket. Yeah, that'll be good. And a BTN one. That'd be awesome.
Photo show.
Well, photo show doesn't happen enough.
the photo show
Apple enamel pin will never be finished.
No. Every 15th package or something will have one.
Righty boys joined us. How you doing, dude?
Oh, mate, my mic technique. There you go.
You're on, mate.
Hello, how you doing?
Righty do be here.
I do be here. I just got out. Some old woman outside said, where's the upholsterers? And I went, I'm from freaking Norwich. I don't know, I bloody know.
What upholsterers?
She went, there's an upholsterers round here. And I went, oh.
There hasn't been upholsterers for 3 years, because I've been here for 2 years, so.
Well, I was the last
she
person
looking,
to get her asking.
She asked you because she was looking
was
for goatskin.
No, the upholsterers, this was the upholsterers.
Oh, right.
AJ Cook and Son.
Ah, so you saw me looking at your door, that's why.
Yeah, no, and then Pure, the tanning place below, is the where they had the workshop. And up here was like their restroom and stuff like that. But they had to move out because they used to start the linishes and all that kind of stuff at like 3 a.m. to get a job done. And the next door neighbours, because they turned, all of this was commercial, but then they turned the next door into residential. So all the residents then went, we're starting the linish at 3 a.m. That's got to change. So we had to leave. It was a pain in the arse.
Yeah, I got 10 minutes early, but I was having a good old chat with her. Bless her. I thought I'd pulled.
There's no friendly people in Birmingham. You probably had.
I don't know. Your taxi driver's very nice. Bless him.
Excellent. Probably wasn't from Birmingham.
No, probably.
Not from Birmingham. Siri translation features in iOS 11. Siri has new features that lets you ask the personal assistant to translate English into one of several different languages. We already did a Siri overview video showing it offices, Mac Rumors. But here we go. Patrice, you've played with this.
Yeah, I have.
Is it good or is it shit?
Let's say it this way. I mean, I haven't tried it enough to really say is it good or is it shit. I have tried it twice, and twice it worked. I mean,
it worked!
Yeah, it worked. I mean, I translated, twice I was thinking, I can't even remember what I translated, but I had something in mind in English, and I needed it in French. So I just did the English to French translation, and it worked. So,
wow. I mean, so you did English to French with a German accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it worked.
I can't get it to do English to English without it sending it to a cinema.
Maybe that's your mistake. You're trying English to English. You should try English to German, and then it would work.
It's good Joe Adam's not here, and he'd be taking the...
you're trying to translate Brummy to English.
Oh, you bastard.
us proper speaking people, is English people. We don't have a problem with Siri.
Andrew does.
I would say some of the online demos I've seen of it are brilliant. There's some really good stuff. And obviously, you know, I'm in France, Englishman in France, and I have to reach for my Google app on my iPhone to translate anything. So being able to have something that I can just sort of just press and just say, you know, what's this translation, and it say it, is going to be brilliant, really. And I'm really looking forward to it coming out.
I mean, we can try it live on air if you want.
Oh, let's do it. You got it. You got it. Here we go.
Yeah.
Put the mic. Put another mic next to his thing.
So who wants to translate? Who wants to translate something? If it works with a German accent,
we'll you've got okay.
Ask where the nearest
cinema is. Ask where the nearest cinema is.
Oh, that'll work then.
Okay. I'll bugger off.
Hey Siri, where's the next cinema in French?
Where's the next cinema?
Où est le prochain cinéma?
Did you hear it? Mm-hmm. I could repeat it.
Didn't say en français. It's clever enough that it doesn't pick up.
Où est le prochain cinéma?
Ask it the distance of the golf course.
So it also gives. I mean, it also really speaks the French version of it. You can see it on the stream, but you get the translation. So English and French, and then it also also speaks.
Ask it, does it speak French? Come on.
Où est le prochain cinéma?
So it works.
So can you do something in German to English or German to French? Because I can't see German to French working because they hate you.
I'm not sure. I mean, because my Siri is set up to English, I'm not sure. Right. I mean, I could do the other way around. I could do English to German.
Go on then, give it a go.
Okay. Hey Siri, where's the next cinema in German?
Où est le prochain cinéma?
Ah!
That did not work at all.
Come on, Ewan's got to try now. Come on, this has got to be the test, hasn't it? If Ewan could say it.
Where do I get beer in German?
Wo bekomme ich Bier?
Ooh.
That worked. So I think, I mean, this is, remember, this is beta 2. So I think she cashed the old answer.
Well, so let's just do an objective scientific test here.
Yes.
She got 3 out
Siri,
of 4.
What's a woolly jumper
two
in
two
English?
3, yeah.
That's a sheep.
No, that's in Welsh.
See, she has no freaking clue what a woolly jumper is.
Doc, have you played with translation?
No, it doesn't speak my Asian languages, racist phone. I
love
speak
the fact that the black guy is saying that it's racist because
it
doesn't do Japanese. That's
I can
hilarious,
do Japanese
man.
I can do
show title.
Does it say karaoke correctly?
No.
Did you notice that? I said it there.
Let me try this. That's a good question. Siri, where is the local karaoke bar?
Here's what I found.
Oh, she doesn't repeat that. That's good.
You've got to say in the language of Nick.
Yeah.
Dude, where is the local karaoke bar in French?
Hey Siri, Hey Siri, where is the new karaoke bar in French?
Okay, check it out.
Okay, I phrased it wrong. I'm sorry.
So there's some pitfalls yet.
Yeah, no, you have to say what is, and I said, hey Siri, where is, and that doesn't work.
Right. Hey Siri, what is a lovely bunch of coconuts in German? there's a lot of Germans in Hawaii. So.
Here's the Coconut Grove Cinema, near to where you are.
Now, the reason why I said that, in Benny Hill, that was a famous thing that I used to see here in America. Benny Hill, he was an operator, and he would just answer everything. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts, and I always thought that was funny when I moved here.
So I fixed it.
All right, hang on. 3 seconds, he sorted it.
Oui, le nouveau bar karaoke.
Oh,
okay.
But the thing is,
fancy,
how do we know that's right? Let's say I want to visit your mother.
Well, Doc,
I can tell you.
And French comes out, when it comes out in French, it could be something totally different about what you're going to do to your mother.
The French visit is entirely different, yeah. No, Doc would have gone mental if that was the way she said karaoke in French there, but...
That's true.
He gets upset when you don't say karaoke.
It's karaoke. See, no, you see, you got to think about it, right? Think about karate, right? Nobody goes to karaoke. You go to karate. So it's karate, karaoke.
Karaoke.
So simple.
That's how I said it.
So if you think of the martial arts, then you can say the word.
You do be teaching me English.
When's Apple to Welsh come in?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, that ought to be good.
I want to do French to Welsh. Actually, no, there's a lot of French words that are very similar to Welsh because they all settled in the north of France, didn't they?
Yeah, it's all
Care is village and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's all
so.
From the Brittany languages. The base there is all the similar language because also Cumbrian, actual counting.
German to Welsh.
You could do Devonshire to Welsh.
Cornish.
It'll never go.
You can't do Devonshire to English.
How be you knacking for?
I've seen that advert for that their cow ice cream. I don't understand a word he's saying.
This sounds like an episode.
They
of
do a special translation just for Brummies. It's very slow.
Good ass.
And it's got saloons.
Good ass.
There could be a Dev and Cornwall face-off later about the cream teas.
No, we won't.
No.
Jam first or cream first?
Right,
jam.
Right, hang on. I have saved the best for last. Nearly 1 in 4 Windows users who were surveyed plan to switch to Mac in the next 6 months.
Whee!
Nearly 21% of Windows users and 25% of current Windows desktop owners intend to switch to a Mac in the next 6 months, according to a recent survey conducted by market research firm Virto Analytics.
What about Windows Phone?
How many people did they ask?
6,000, so it's not bad.
No, it's actually...
That's a good sample.
6,000 is a good sampling. Normally they ask like 300 people and they write a report, and I'm like, I always hated that.
They all want to buy an iMac Pro.
But what I'm showing here is a graph, right? I'm showing a graph. A graph. This is quite interesting. So this is consumers most likely to switch to a Mac by income group. And this is quite interesting because you get a dip. So 14, but you can't see it. 14% of under $15,000 per annum dollars, under $15,000 per year, that's nothing. Yeah. They 14% of them are willing to switch to a Mac.
14% of the 7% of the 6%.
No, that's
so,
right.
I mean, how do they get
there? Hang on. Over 150K, 20% of them want to switch to a Mac. Now, that's the one you'd agree with.
Yeah.
But 14 to 20 is actually a lot. When you think about it, but if you look at the middle of the graph, it's a reverse bell curve, because 30 to 40K and 40 to 50K are only 7% and 9%. The 30K group are the least likely to switch to Mac, and the poor people, excuse me, the riffraff, are more intent on switching to Mac than the middle-income groups.
Doc?
I find that amazing.
I can explain that.
Oh, go on then.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to ask him a question about that. In
ahead,
your
ladies
public
first.
Libraries, lady, where? in the public libraries, do they have Windows computers or Mac computers that people use?
This is individuals, 6,000 individuals.
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is if people are using, because they can't afford a computer at their own house, but they're thinking of getting one, if they're using one in a public area that's a Mac, they may be willing to do the Mac type thing.
So I'm going to shout that's not a Mac, it's a PC probably.
To Bronwyn's point, she's almost on what I was going to be on. So I didn't even think about her side, but I can add to that. So a lot of the people who wouldn't necessarily own one at home, you are not necessarily going to the library to use the computer. You're doing it at the Apple Store where it's free. So you play with it enough and you become enamored with it, right? Mm-hmm. So that could cover the low side.
Go ahead.
Let me finish.
Hang on, let Dr. finish. She's all right, mate. Go on, you're over. She's just like...
The 30, 40, 50K, those are the lads that work in the office all day, like Righty, and they use what Righty puts his at them, and that's all they really know for computers, because the work level that you get in that frame requires you to basically bust tail all day, and then when you go home, you kind of just don't want to learn something new, so it's easier to follow suit to what you're using through every day. So that's the office kit, 7, 9, and 10. The other thing that I just want to add that's probably flawed about the survey, there's a certain amount of pride when you're, say, less wealthy, because I used to be hella poor. If you asked me when I was hella poor if I was going to buy a Mac, I probably would have said, yeah, because I didn't want to seem like I was hella poor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So these surveys are a little slanted in the sense you can't ask somebody what you're planning to buy, because every time you fill out a survey to get a free subscription to a magazine, I tell them I'm going to spend $1 million on IT equipment, and I never do. So the survey is ignorant, but anyway, that would kind of explain some of the, yeah, to me, my theory on the...
Smock, you've got,
yeah,
a point?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how the question was worded. I don't know how they found their people by income group.
Yeah.
But there's a significant proportion of people in low income that are students, that are working part-time, living at home with parents, where the money they are earning is not necessarily paying living costs. So I can quite understand that sort of figure if the group is not representative as a whole.
Yeah. They did say, they surveyed people here, and they said that 98% of current Mac owners surveyed in the study were going to stick with their Mac, so only 2% were thinking of changing.
Yeah. Doctor, your point, I have a little bit of an alternative theory that is based on what you said. Basically, the poorer income group, I mean, they are looking to the higher income groups and saying, I mean, this is the status symbol. I mean, if I can get a Mac, then I can do real work and I can earn real money. So that might also factor into it. The middle group, I think, I mean, those are usually also, this is what we call the middle class. Those are the people who have mortgages, who have families, who don't have, I mean, who have other things that they have to spend the money on. And the higher group then, I mean, I think that is pretty obvious. I mean, they can afford a Mac. It's a status symbol also, but they can afford it, so they get it.
Tom BF.
You also got to add creatives in the poor group, because most creatives, sure, are hella poor, but most creatives are all Mac users.
Tom VF in the chat room says kids, Ewan. So I'm guessing to the fact that he's talking about the student group and the kids. Exactly.
And I'm just going to throw spanner in the works. What about us people who have a MacBook Pro that's running Windows 10?
Doesn't count.
Go.
What the heck does that have to do with anything?
It's a lot better to run the AutoCAD on.
And
people
like me, you and your Frankenstein machine should leave.
Yeah. But obviously we're talking about people who would go from Windows to Mac. Now I work in an educational institution, apparently.
No, you work at Avengers HQ.
I do. Well, yeah. Also, so all the Avengers, all the trainee Avengers, it's all Mac.
Yeah.
Everything's Mac, and that 15% discount is huge for students. Offer a lot of Mac.
So that accounts for the minus 15, the under 15K group. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a offer like a high level Mac. That's a lot of money.
And you get AppleCare for next to nothing.
Yeah. So I don't think it's so much a switching thing now. My daughter has an iPhone, iPad, and she'd never move to a Windows machine because she thinks that's just the norm now as well, where it's an operating system where she's really used to it. Windows she finds a little bit clunky, a little bit kind of, that's what Nanny and Grandad use kind of thing. Well, it is what they have. Nan and Grandad's got Windows XP, and it looks terrible. But all of their stuff, because it syncs between iOS and Mac and all that sort of thing, they find that a really useful thing. And I just did a little bit of a little poll on the train on the way today, and there was me and another chap who got our Macs out on the train, and a bloke turned up with an Asus, and we both... The chap with the mat looked at me, and I looked at him, and then we looked at the bloke with the Aces, and went, it's your problem. Yeah, we did, quite literally. We slapped him on the table, that went.
Disgraceful.
Windows 10's nice.
Disgraceful.
Nobody cares what you think, Muller.
Yay! Patrice! I know.
Did anyone see the AR kit ruler?
Yes.
Oh,
that is awesome.
No, have you not seen it?
No.
All right, come on. To everyone around here.
No.
Yeah.
They're all.
Go. Yeah, come on.
The thing is,
hold on to me.
This lot are all chained together because they're all having to share audio packs.
Yeah, it's like breaking blocks.
But here we go. This is the AR kit ruler. For those of you that are listening on the podcast, just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. But it's got some little dots where it kind of annotates where it thinks it's going to be, and then it draws it out, and it is unreal.
Oh, that's quite fancy.
Look at the distance.
No, it's not. It's not actually. No, that's the clip at the top.
Yeah, if you line it up with the other tape measure, it's out.
No, because the other tape measure, it doesn't start at exactly that point. You can see it's not next to it. But look at this.
Do you know, as a dressmaker, that would be ideal
for
measuring inside legs.
And every man in the world.
who now wants to be the dressmaker. Well, I'll tell you what. Hang on. I've got it. Here we go. They're all behind me. Look. I've got it. This is going back to this is going back to Paul Dixon's. This is for Pecker Checker. So you can
that's amazing.
Draw a thumbnail. It is. It's awesome. It's incredible, isn't it? I'll put the link in the show notes.
If it works and it's accurate, it'd be brilliant.
Chat room.
Even for someone like myself doing surveys and architectural stuff. But you've got to trust that it's accurate.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're going to have to do some tests, aren't you? It is pretty damn special, I think. Yeah.
That would be brilliant where I work, because I have to do building histories before things get knocked down, etc. And that involves a lot of civil stuff as well. So instead of going out with your tape measure...
Mm. Right, back you go, window. It's
gone. Ewan, is it accurate up to 4 inches? Because if it is, that's fine, mate.
I mentioned it on the last show. If you haven't gone to madewitharkit.com, you should. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff. So much stuff.
Did you just say mate with your...
Mate.
All right.
Mate with D.
I thought you said mate with your AR kit.
Well, you could do that.
You need a Siri translation.
Apparently, peckerchecker.com has gone on UK too.
Denied.
So, do you own that back when you said...
Well, if you're to the moist list, we've got upgraded.
It's under construction and not for sale. There we go. That's what it says. I wanted to do a curry rating site, and I bought ringticklers.com. I've let it go now. Ringticklers.com.
Ringticklers. That's a whole new niche on Google.
Yeah. And instead of stars, you could have toilet rolls.
It was going to be toilet rolls. five toilet rolls. Actually, Patrice and I went out last night.
Yeah.
And we went down to Hickory's, which is down the road, and it's like a smokehouse. And they got some sauces lined up. And the first one was, there was a pile of them. And we saw ghost something or other.
No, it was psychopath something sauce. Ghost. It had ghost pepper in it. That was the part.
And it was called psychopath. And we started with that one.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
The first one was the hottest.
I love spicy food. I can do the vindaloo over the road, not a problem. But I put my finger in this thing, and it was just like, as soon as I got a whiff of it, it went on my nose. It's like, I know I'm getting nothing from this. You can get that irony kind of smell that you get from chili that's too strong. Yeah. I put it on my tongue, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, and then we tried the other four sauces, and we couldn't taste anything.
They tasted like Heinz ketchup.
Yeah.
Afterwards. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Thanks so much to them for supporting us. We've got a lot of stuff going on. They've got some VPS SSDs now. So these are super fast servers that are incredibly good. And they're going like hotcakes. So if you want to have a look at those, go to britishnetwork.com/sponsors or /UK2. Log into your account and ask someone about the VPS SSDs. We've got some banners that we need to put up on the site as well as. But they've just renewed Bageltech.
Yay!
Another 5 years. They're awesome. The server's been renewed for 9 years. So please, please, please support UK2, because without them, none of this shit would make the air. And Uniku is coming. I have been... There's actually some really cool stuff happening over the next few months with Hoya. And I went and had an eye test just to make sure my prescription was straight. And they're going to give me some driving glasses called En Route. I'm going to put a review on the website when I get them back, and I've had a go with them. But they're coming back in the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to try those. And also, the Uniku machine has been bench tested at Wrexham. And Jake and I are going to go up and do some filming up there in the next couple of weeks to get me Uniku specs made for Hoya as well. Custom made for my face, they will fit no one else's.
Looking at that, you know they've done the sort of 3D scan of your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you just get the program of that and do a 3D print of your head? You could have a bust.
There's not enough material for a 3D print.
Oh, he's sharp.
Nice.
My wife tells me I've already got a bust.
Or we could just ask about Sharon and about other modelling parts.
What? We won't need much clay.
That's what she said about the model. He's just twigged what I'm on about.
No. I'm just going to... I went to Germany years ago with the British Army. I mean, I'm going back a long time. And I stood looking at a place where I bought a leather bag, a bag shop, and it was next to a sex shop. And this woman walked past and said something to me in German, and I don't know what it was. My German wasn't good enough, but it was kind of like, "I hope your wife knows," because she said, "Frau, I hope your wife knows that you've been in that shop, or you're thinking of going in that shop, or something like that." It was like it was like a rebuke, and my response was, "No, I've already been in." I bought some of it, but one of the things I got in that shop in Bielefeld was a mould your own willy kit. And I'm telling you what, it is the best fun we've ever had together. It was so.
And he's got two kids.
No, but the thing was, we spent the whole night pissing ourselves laughing. So the actual mould is just embarrassing how big it is.
Yeah.
Because it was just like every time we tried to get something to happen, it just didn't. So
see, I was trying to be subtle for once. Yeah.
My naivety, I was like, so we've got all this kit and there was this tray that you had to lay your thing in, and then they poured this, you poured the stuff on it, and you had to put Vaseline over the top so it didn't stick to your thing, and then you poured this rubber stuff in over the top, and they put in a rubber band, and I was like, what's the rubber band for?
Did it get a bit hot?
No, you know.
No, dear.
It did get hot.
Just never do it in plaster of Paris, then.
If it hadn't got hot, mate, it would have been really embarrassing, I can tell you.
It's getting hot in here.
No, the one person you never want to take into a sex shop is my mother.
How did she not get
that? I promise you that's never going to happen back when she's on.
Show title.
Oh, trust me on this one. She's hysterical.
Don't take my mother into a sex shop.
Especially after a few whiskies. She's amazing.
Oh, God. I've got horrible pictures.
That's all right. I'll be phoning her up later on to give her lottery numbers on...
Is she taller or smaller
than you? She's shorter than I am. Yeah, and she has false teeth.
I'll be ringing up later to give her a lottery number. Is that a euphemism for something else?
No, it'll be on speakerphone, so you can all abuse my mother.
No! I don't want to abuse your mother!
How
many of those have you had?
I'd be very good.
Come on. Do you remember you
I hope you can edit. Oh, yes.
Do you remember the spider competition?
Yes,
last
4 weeks
we were running the spider competition, yes. Right? We've come to the end of the first spider competition. There's two more to come, so don't worry if you don't win this time, because there's two more that you can enter. Don't worry about it. But I've got some bad news for Richard Cook.
He didn't win it.
Richard Cook can't enter the second and third competition for the spider because he's won the first.
Yay!
Hey, congratulations.
Well done, Richard.
He correctly identified that the primary colours on your screen are red, green and blue.
So what? It wasn't beer, gin and wine?
No, which you...
Damn it.
So, Richard Cook, well done, mate. Send me your address. I'll forward it on to Data Colour and they will be sending you a brand new Spider 5 with Express software. And if you want, this is the beauty, you see, of a Spider. If you get the Spider 5 Express and you go, do you know what, I actually want more features, all you got to do is pay the upgrade for the software, but the Spider 5 that you've got will do all three. So there we go. Well done, Richard. Congratulations, mate. You are a winner.
Well, technically, you could enter the second and third ones with a false name.
Well, okay, but I'll find you.
Did he win that on the web?
Oh! You're really spinning these pins out.
Oh, yes.
Fear
so
not.
Silky.
If you entered the first competition and you didn't win, it's not a problem because there will be two more competitions running. The next one won't start though until we've moved. So when we've moved and we do our first show from the new premises, that'll be when we'll kick off a new month for the Spider competition. And Wrighty will be echoing the competition in the pocket show if he ever does a second one.
Yeah, he will.
He's got it.
Will it be the same question?
No. Although I have to say, I struggled to come up with the shit questions it was. So everyone can
nice.
Well done, Richard Cook, mate. You are one of very few people who've won a prize on this show. You won one, yes. You got some glasses, but you're not wearing them.
No, no, I've got them with me here.
Dude, where's the rest of you?
There's another one coming.
He dropped them off at the pool. Right, time for the cool thing. You don't get one. Window Lickers don't get a cool thing.
Aww. Aww.
Dark, have you got a cool thing, man?
Yeah, actually I do. I posted this to you earlier this week, but Drobo, the drive attached storage company, has come out with a dual Thunderbolt 3 USB 3 Type-C, like super fast, incredible level Drobo, like one that can probably actually be used for live editing. In the past, they've been, if you're doing something not too, you know, video intensive, you could use it, you know, as your live drive, but now the speeds have caught up with the capabilities. And looking at their website and looking at the pre-release video for this thing, with the M SATA card in the bottom, this thing is ridiculously fast. And so therefore, on the Thunderbolt 3, it would be enough to basically run your whole kit. The other part about this, which is really cool, is it can use a 5K monitor or two 4K monitors set at the back, is the way Ewan would say it. I think that's how he says it. So like, if one of the biggest problems with all of the new sort of USB-C Thunderbolt 3 type devices is, if you go to buy a docking device or whatever, there's never enough ports, because you always waste one of the ports connecting it to the device, and it only leaves you left with one. So it's kind of cool that this thing will allow the daisy chaining of monitors, and it will allow for you to run, like, again, a single 5K monitor or dual 4K monitors and still give you access to some pretty rip-roaring speed. So I think it's a pretty cool device. I think it's $699 for the empty box, $799 with 2 terabytes in it. But the Drobo that's sitting over there in the corner right now is currently formatted for, like, 16 terabytes. So it's a great way to, like, you know, start your storage adventure, and then all you got to do is add drives. And my favorite thing about Drobos is they don't need to use the same drive. You can buy whatever's on sale at Tesco, slap it in there, and then keep working. They sell drives at Tesco, right?
No. So I'm not a great fan of Drobo, because I had a problem with them and I lost data with them. And they gave me a full refund, fortunately, and I sold it on eBay anyway. So what's the price of this? The options,
$699 for the basic empty box. You know what's funny, I still have my Drobo 1, and I have a Drobo 3rd gen and a Drobo 5th gen, and I've never had a single problem out of my Drobo.
Yeah,
so
I guess it's
a luck of the draw. Like, I don't really know, but I have heard of, you know, some people say that they run into problems. The cool thing is, if you do have your Drobo and you do have a problem, if you're marrying your Drobo with Backblaze, it's backed up anyway for $5 a month, so you just put in new drives and put it back. It, like, it's all good.
Patrice, did you were going to say something there?
No.
No, okay, right, okay. hi, another person, just in time for the end. Mr. Rickards, do you have a cool thing for us?
Hello, everybody. Yeah, I had a Drobo once. It was okay. I had a WD Share Space by Western Digital. It was also very good bit of backup. Really, really nice. I guess my pick this week, I guess, is going to be Vistaprint, of all things. Now, I used Vistaprint years ago to design some... no, true story. I used Vistaprint years ago to make some cards.
I'm going to have to wash my ears out after this.
Yeah, me too.
But what happened this time is I designed these very beautiful cards on my Mac, and I'm really, really pleased with them, except what happened was I did it double-sided. In other words, I did one design on one side and one design on the other one, and unfortunately, they sent me 500 cards of just one design on both sides. when you press away, you can edit stuff, and it's all changed dramatically online. But what was really cool was I contacted the customer services, and they refunded me straight away and will send me another 500 cards for free. So really good call. Like I said, it's been a while since I've used them, but really impressed by the fact that you can make your own or just upload your own design like I did. And just great. They've got something called Spot Gloss, which makes it all bumpy and quite tactile. That's also good. Just a very quick one. Obviously bought a new LEDT, and as There's a brilliant forum which I'll put in the chat room that have helped me no end. I just want to give them a shout out. It's www.ttforum.co.uk, and they support the Audi TT first, second, third models, which are brilliant. So any help you want with your car, they're the guys for it.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Patrice, have you got a cool thing?
Yeah, I do. It's something that I heard about on Brett Terpstra's show, Systematic. It's exist.io. It's a service that basically aggregates all your health information, you can hook in your calendar, your Twitter account, email, and so on. And it collects all of that and then provides you with, I would call them correlations, I mean, in a statistical sense. So it will tell you that, I don't know, on a Saturday, you're usually sleeping longer because you're sleeping 12 hours instead of 6. Or it will tell you, well, if you're walking more on a day, then you're also drinking more water if you're capturing your water intake, stuff like that. So it's actually... it's actually quite nice. It's not a free service. You get a month for free, but I think then it's $6 per month. So I'm on my free trial, but it's actually so far pretty nice. The information you get is, well, so far it's okay. I can't tell whether it's accurate or not. It's still collecting data on me, so we'll see how good it is. But overall, I mean, Brett Terpstra recommended it, and that's why I followed it.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. We'll put a link in the chat room a bit later. My cool thing, someone pass us the mic, is the... I'll put a link in the chat room so you can get it from there. It's the... no, I haven't.
Good job.
I haven't pressed return. There we go. It is the AKG DMS Tetrad P5 wireless vocal microphone system. There we go. I bought it for the bash with the BTN funds. This is why you get in Dublin now, because I'm using both mics. But this thing is great. We bought it to use with the PA system for tomorrow. But I bought it because it was on offer. If you go to gear4music.com, the retail price of this system, which is one mic and a box that does the receiving, the receiving length is about 80 metres. So
wow.
we had the work experience kids walking down the street carrying the microphone just today. Don't tell the school that, for Christ's sake. But it does about 80 metres range, which is absolutely excellent. The vocal quality of it is superb. The retail price of this is £549.
Ooh, don't drop it, guys.
And if you want to buy an extra microphone, they are £250 each. So
that's AKG for you.
That's AKG for you.
Yeah.
However, they are about to come out with a new system. Quite how they're going to better this, I'm not sure, because this is just fine. You can get these at Gear4Music for £99.
Wow.
Wow. And they're genuine. I did look around. They're genuinely £549 retail. So we wanted a second mic, and the guy said, well, there's no second mics because the mics aren't going to change. So they're still £250. So if I buy a second system... Will that give me a second mic that I can link to the first system? Oh, yeah.
That's kind of weird.
So there we go. It's the AKG DMS Trad P5 wireless mic. I'm guessing that there's a time limit on this.
Yeah, I might get one.
Yeah. If you get it from Gear4 Music, then it's £99 at the moment. And it's a beautiful system. You guys have been using it all afternoon.
Yeah, they're awesome.
The quality is great.
Quality is awesome.
So you and the one receiver will take, what, two or three mics?
You can get up to four mics in.
Really?
And you can get either four individual outputs from it into four separate inputs, or you can do a multiple output in from it. So
it's a pro system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pro system. Nice. It is genuinely £500. I did a quick internet search. Gear4 got some stuff early. There's a couple of other sites that followed suit now and reduced price on it. But I checked quickly, and they genuinely are £549.
That Signhouse one I had last year, that was £300 just for one mic.
Yeah. It's worth paying extra for the mics. It's not buying the crap stuff. Sharon's school bought a PA system, and I got a really good PA, the system that you've got. And it's a great PA system. But then they went and bought shit mics with it, and they didn't last 5 weeks.
Especially with kids, you need...
The other thing as well is that this isn't the megahertz system, it's the 2.4 gigahertz system, so it's the digital connection, so you won't get interference on the meter.
Excellent.
They've got an interference control switch as well on there, which is, I don't know how to use it. That was the Bash Mac show. We are done. We are finished. It is all over. The only thing that's left is now to go over and start the curry and then go back to my house and start drinking and then do the Bash tomorrow and then come back to my house afterwards and do curry again and then come back in the morning for bacon rolls and then do a barbecue and then, if you fit, go home Sunday night or stay till Monday. Who cares?
You're not really making it bad for the people not here, are you? Right.
They're missing, really.
You've got to be here next year, Doc. You've got to be here.
If you are not here, you are missing something really special. We've got 60 people tomorrow that are going to be here. And we can take up to 200 as well. So where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet as DOCROCK. That's Doc Rock. And... wow, nice place for a hiccup. Also, you can find me on my new podcast, The Solid Pod, and I have a new domain. It's just solid.fm. So
this podcast come and is one check long out, hiccup.
Check out
the pod.
What?
This podcast what is say? One long hiccup.
True that.
Yeah, it is. It's one giant hiccup. Here, I'm going to send you a picture that I'm about to post to my clients. I think you will get a kick out of it. There.
James, where are you, sir?
Hello, buddy. As usual, I'm on RenderBots on the YouTube. So do a search for RenderBots. You'll find me. I've got some cracking new Getting Started Mac OS tutorials out. Ideally, if you've got friends or family bothering you, they just bought a new Mac and don't know what to do with it. So I've got a whole series of that. And obviously, got my drone stuff up on there. So want to see what France is like? I can show you from the air.
Good man. I saw your Chateau video the other week. That was beautiful.
No,
you saw that he shat on a video.
Did you say Chateau?
Oh. I'm not the only one that heard that. Okay. Right. Okay. At least the minions heard it, so I don't feel like I'm being
I mean, he out. May have one of those kind of scat videos going around somewhere, but I mean, who knows?
James, I'm planning to chase the Audi TT with the camera next.
There's tonight's Google. James Rickard's Gat.
don't Google that.
Oh, why was he going to find someone? Right, okay, I'll do that while everyone does their own intros. So start off with writing and pass it round. Where can we get a hold of you, Winner Liquors?
Am I Winner Liquor now?
No, you're not Winner Liquor.
No. You'll get me rightly on Twitter. You'll get me on the Pocket Show when I finally do one, on the Big Show, in the Slack room, doing the reviews and hanging out with my old mates at the Bash.
It's the first time you've been here on a Friday, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, they do Fridays.
But you do Saturday, Sunday normally, so.
Where's Jim?
Huh? My weekday wife is staying at home.
Wanker. tell everyone about the London Mac User Group.
Good evening, guys. Yeah, Magic Man here from evening. We're moving on. We're moving on.
Please on the hockey.
Yeah, from London Mac User Group. We meet every other Monday down in London at the St. Was it the St. John Balcombe? You're all very welcome. Come down. Meet us all. Have a good show around Mac stuff. And you'll find me on Slack room.
Excellent. Ian?
Ian Lewis on Slack.
Ian Lewis on Photography. There we go.
Sometimes help you with a photo show.
Yeah, we'll do that again. Photo show's coming back. Don't worry.
You can find me at Batwench on Twitter, Facebook, Slack room. And if you check GoFundMe the UK, look for Jasper Carrot. I'm raising funds for a cat I rescued.
For your pussy.
Don't ignore your husband. He's taking the time to. No, he doesn't want to be here. All right, then, fair enough. He
doesn't want to.
Are you on annual leave or not?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. So you can do it then.
No, he gets weirdos chasing him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about that later then.
Yeah, we want to know more.
Horse.
Yeah, I'm just at Horse on Slack room. Nothing else really.
All right, mate. Jake, do you want to remain anonymous? Ellis, do you want to remain anonymous?
No,
absolutely. Patrice.
Yeah, I mean, every week on the Mac Show, as always, on the Slack room, and everything I do at thepatrice.com.
You've kind of hogged the mic there, and you've hogged the mic over there a little bit. So
no, I was passing mine around.
I heard that. Smock, where are you, mate?
Smock on most services, like the Slack room, Twitter. So it's probably the easiest place to find me.
Tinder.
How did you find that one?
He swiped right.
And Muller.
Yeah, I'm glad I got this mic. There's teeth in that one. It's got all wet.
Yeah, Muller Biker on Twitter. Sometimes in the Slack room, sometimes, well, I don't know, anywhere.
Sometimes in a pub.
They're brilliant, aren't they?
I quite like them.
Yeah, I got them from that book.
All right, enough of that. My name's Ian Rankin. You can get me out here and I can tweet. You follow us at British Tech on Twitter, as well as the Bash next year is the 7th of July. Oh. So make sure you book it in. Don't even think about going to some shitty dance competition, which is where a few people have gone this year instead of coming here. Disown your kids if they book a dance competition. Take them out of it. They'll get far more education here.
Put it on your calendars.
It's
book
on
it 7th already.
Of July is the Bash next year if you're not coming this year. Put it in now and buy yourself a ticket and come down because it is the best fun you can have. We're off to have fun. You're not going to see it. You're lost, not ours.
I'm going to the pub.